Beamer in for Mark Reardon. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. It's always just a blast to be here with you, and really, really appreciate everyone tuning in, everyone listening. And now Ethan is here, and Ethan, you had some issues at a car wash, I understand.
You know, I was absolutely flabbergasted the other day when I went to, there's a car wash right across the street from my apartment complex. And I was like, all right, I'm going to stop in real quick. It just, you know, you're just one of those, you just drive on through and it does it all for you, right? And I get up to the entrance. Like, hey, how's it going? Good, blah, blah, blah. Which car wash would you like to select? And I just said, you know what? I just want the simplest one. It's $10. You know, they start getting up from there. And he says, the guy at the window says, okay, I just have to tell you, it doesn't guarantee that it's going to completely clean your car.
Oh.
And I sat there, and I just said, like, okay, whatever, I don't even care. But as I'm sitting there going through the car wash, I'm processing this, saying to myself, what? How does that make sense?
It doesn't.
I paid $10 to get my car washed, and now, because it's the cheapest option, it doesn't guarantee the service that they provide?
Is this like the lowbrow lazy guy way of trying to upsell you?
Oh, it had to have been.
Right?
It had to have been.
And he just worded it poorly.
Maybe. Like I said, because it's right across the street, this is where I go, I don't know, probably once a month to get my car washed. And they've never said this before, so I don't know if this is a new thing or if they're saying this now or if it's just this one guy trying to get me to spend a few more dollars. But I could not believe.
That's hilarious.
Why would a random guy say this if he was not being told by his company
to
tell this to people?
How old was this person?
Oh, I mean,
give me a decade.
He was. Oh, it was in the same decade as me.
Yeah,
sure.
That's your answer. This is the lazy man's upsell. He didn't know how to get you to the elite level.
It's not commission, though.
By just saying, well, how do we know? Do we know?
We don't know.
I don't actually know the answer to that.
I would assume that it's not commission.
Well, he's just trying to shame you for getting the cheap stuff. By the way, sir, this isn't going to clean. Yeah, that's a good question. Is it clean?
I had to work a little extra hard with the drying towels to get a couple of spots off. I mean, it was fine, but
that's how it is at any level, right?
That's what you would think. I just am amazed. You know,
that's sad. You might want to call.
You know, $10. For a car wash, I understand, you know, now today, I guess, depending on where you go, that's probably pretty normal. But, I mean, it's not like I'm spending just a couple of bucks here.
Right.
This is 10
right.
bucks.
Fred, would you ever say that? No.
No.
I would never say that. There's no way that is a company policy.
If someone said that to you guys, any of you guys, how would you react?
That would be like your doctor saying, for an extra 20 bucks, I'll you know, look at another test for you.
Yeah. And there's no guarantee.
That's right.
Yeah. No guarantee.
I could not believe that.
That's
this was said
really
to me.
Bad.
And I was, you know, I was like, this is one of the few times where I feel like I have a radio topic that just fell into my lap. So I was just, I was excited to bring it to you guys. That was the best part of all of it.
And I feel like $10 is enough any way you go about it.
That's what I'm saying.
I remember when the cheapest option on the car wash was $5, and you know, so when I see 10, I gotta make sure my car is getting clean. But now you've got these. Now I don't know. Is this? I'm guessing this is big everywhere, where people get the monthly pass to the car wash.
Yeah,
I think Mark Reardon does that.
Yeah,
you get the little sticker on your windshield.
I have one of those.
But I do it in the winter because we have to get the salt off the car.
Yeah, that
makes sense. Makes sense.
But like I said, I mean, Ethan goes to the one where it moves your car. I don't even do that. I go the gas station garage car wash where you put it there and the machine moves around your car.
Yep.
I find that's the best deal of the car wash.
I can't believe. And so your car was mostly clean for 10 bucks.
I mean, it was fine. I mean, it was fine, I guess. But I mean, here's the thing. This is, you guys are going to think this is gross, but so there was a couple of little random spots, and I didn't I was like, I'm here detailing my car, right? You know, I got the towels. I'm like, screw this.
Spit clean.
I spit on my car, and I used the towel to scrub it.
You have to do that sometimes.
In multiple spots. Yes. I had never done that before, and I kind of looked around like, is anyone looking at me?
Maybe that's what you would have got if you upgraded.
Yeah, if the elite level.
They would have walked up and...
What are some of the extra stuff they'll put on the car? That's what I want. I mean, do you pay for like something that will make it shine more? Like,
yes.
What's the extra?
Sometimes there's like the rainbow package where there's different colors and like,
yes,
they have different chemicals to clean it.
But they'll do wax and they'll do like an undercarriage blast. You know, the higher you go.
Because that's the part of my car that I want to be clean. The
and
part no one can see.
Tire shine. I've never had MVP that's above me, but I think they do like tire shine and the wax and something else. And the underblast or whatever they call it.
Yeah, they said it also doesn't give you the... We don't clean your hubcaps where you ride. Well, I was fine with that. I don't care about that. Like, but you can't guarantee it's going to clean the... It just amazed me.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, some of those packages are way too rich for my blood. when we come back, we'll check in with Sue here on 97.1. Welcome back. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon, and it's time for Sue's News.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No, 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 no.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Good news, it's National Like a Dog Day.
Oh,
uh-huh. Isn't that
good.
Sweet?
Yeah.
National Underwear Day.
Made for you, Sue.
Yeah, it kind of is. I do like a dog. It's also National Underwear Day and National Oyster Day. I'm not going to be eating an oyster. I'd rather like a dog. Fred, your thoughts?
I'm pro dog, pro underwear, anti oyster.
I'll back him on both of those. Yes. All three of those
Joe Beamer, do you eat oysters? I mean,
I sure do.
I'm raw, do you?
I do. I like all three things you just mentioned. This is a great day.
The raw. Do you open your throat and just like, I mean, what's happening there? Do you actually taste
sauce,
that?
A little lemon.
Okay.
Delicious.
All right. I'm right there with you, Ethan. On this day in history, in 2017, former Rams quarterback Kurt Warner was inducted into the Football Hall of Fame. Mm. And, of course, his head statue looked nothing like him. What a super nice guy. I mean, he became a starter, of course, in 1999 after Trent Green was injured. He had two MVP seasons here in St. Louis, two Super Bowl appearances, and then, of course, made it to the Super Bowl again once with the Cardinals, did he not?
One play away from winning.
Well, yeah, almost That's won right. that darn thing. And American Underdog is the movie about his life, if you ever want to watch that. You saw,
I saw it.
Ethan did not love it.
I liked it. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Cheesy acting. Good story.
Yeah, good story. But, okay, listen, these people were super nice. And I did a story one time at Channel 4. You remember the coat drive they used to do?
Yeah.
The Warners? And they had like a picture of Kurt's face put on sticks for some event at a game that night. And I did some piece on the sticks of the coat thing. And Brenda Warner sent me a thank you note.
Huh.
Now, how cute is that? And she said,
cool.
I watched the coverage and I liked yours the best. And we really appreciate it. Thank you. I just thought that was really thoughtful. So, and then you'd see them at the movie theater. I saw them once at the movie theater. I'm like, hi, what's up? I mean, it was just so weird.
Are they still based here in St. Louis?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But
why would
I'm
you
not
be?
For sure.
With all that money, why would you be?
Yeah, Joe, you run into Josh Allen at the movies?
I ran into Josh Allen once, and that was we went out for the USA, one of the USA games during the World Cup, and he was at the same bar as me.
Oh, I love that.
That's pretty
close enough. That's close enough. All right.
Did people notice you as much? Or like say, hey, that sounds like Joe Beamer.
No, I was I was running late because I was doing a show at the radio station in Buffalo, and I was held. Hold on, we're late. We're closing the entrance for Josh Allen, so I actually missed the beginning of the game because of Josh. But I completely understand.
I have to imagine that Josh Allen in Buffalo is about as
oh my gosh
as immortal of a view of a human being that a group of people have compared to anyone in the country.
Agreed. Oh, yeah. Agreed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're now doing updates of when Haley Steinfeld is shopping at the Wegmans. Okay? I mean,
now we're talking.
It's getting ridiculous.
All right. They had a new study out that found that the average American begins their nighttime routine at what time? Ooh. Ethan, what time do you start the routine to go to bed?
8:30.
Ooh, that's interesting. Fred?
What time does this show end? it depends on what sporting event is on.
Oh, that's fair. What about you, Joe?
You know, with my new schedule, I would say I'm more average. I'd say 9:30.
Yeah, see? That's nice. I'm not an average. I have a weird schedule, so I don't count. They say it's 10:15.
Whoa.
Oof. Now, on average, it takes 21 minutes to get ready for bed, so it actually happens around 10:36. Then it takes more than 40 minutes before you actually fall asleep, so the average person falls asleep at 11:18 p.m.
Okay, am I doing something wrong? Does it take 21 minutes to get ready for bed?
Well, I don't... Why? Are you faster or slower?
Well, I think much faster.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what slows you down.
I don't know. The reason I went with such an early time is I just assumed it was a little more of a drawn out process that maybe you're not doing it all at once. You do something, then you maybe go, you watch some TV, and then you do something, you make your lunch. I don't know. That's kind of what my thought was.
Or then I think, I left blah, blah downstairs and I need that for tomorrow and I'll go down and get that.
Or shower before bed, maybe?
Well, that's true. Some people, sometimes that happens.
My old schedule, I was a evening showerer, and yeah. But, I mean, I was also going to bed at 8 o'clock.
My hair looks better if I sleep on it, Fred. You can make a note
really?
Of that. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Uh-huh. I get it, though. Stuff happens, and then you have to deal with it, and then it makes you later. We like to watch Dave Portnoy do a pizza review before we go to bed.
That is amazing. Sue, I did not know.
Yes.
I was not familiar with your game.
Yes. Pizza review time.
Everybody knows the rules.
Everybody knows the rules.
Everybody knows the rules.
That's right. If it's got a thick crust and he says, all right, we're going to put it on a different scale, we all think, oh, don't do it. You hate that, Frankie. All right. Here we go. Now, they say that the average person reports they have 3 mornings per week when they wish they'd gone to sleep earlier. I have way more than that. Way more.
7.
Yes, thank you. All right, now here is a weird story out today. I'm just, okay. AC/DC's Thunderstruck. It's entrance music for the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. But you know what? It bothers wolves. Now, the USDA uses the screeching lead vocals of Brian Johnson and the blaring guitar of Angus Young to scare wolves away from livestock farms. Now, they say that they use thermal detecting drones that play the music as they fly over the wolves, and it has greatly lessened the amount of cows killed. So if you think about it, this Thunderstruck is actually used for stuff like that. And they also use, this story was fascinating. They also use a huge argument scene from the movie Marriage Story with Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver just screaming at each other. And apparently it really bothers the wolves. So the wolves stay away!
This is, I know it's not the random fact of the day, but this is the greatest random fact that has ever been brought to Sue's News.
I have no idea like what that means or why anybody would even write a story about it, but it's a thing. I just found it very interesting. And I kind of have random science news here. Well, it's actually space news. The first Australian-made rocket launched in Queensland last week. It immediately crashed. The Australians haven't made it to the moon. It barely got off the ground. It was in the air 14 seconds. The company behind it called it, quote, a strong result. Say what? Okay. So a lot of countries have made it into space and in the moon, but it not the Australians, which I never had thought about that.
No, I just assumed they had.
Right? Fred, what are you trying to say?
Part of me wants to make a joke about them being down under. And so it was harder to get the spacecraft up when it's down under.
That's fair.
But did you hear today? I guess it was Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, was talking about wanting to build a nuclear reactor on the moon.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because if we go to the moon, and do things there. We're going to need energy there.
Sure.
So they're
what could go wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems that. Great.
Absolutely nothing.
Well, shooting that into space with fire under it sounds great. And in vegetable news, a study found potatoes and tomatoes are related. A wild tomato got together with a potato-like plant 9 million years ago, and that's where modern-day potatoes come from.
Oh, what? Thank God.
I know. And there was a really nice video. If you want to Google this, it's my kind of nice story of the day. Marine rescue workers in Australia, I'm trying to make Australia look better again, but they posted a video after they rescued a young dolphin from a fishing net. And it was swimming with its mother, and it had a net around its tail, and it couldn't swim properly. And they had a drone up for some reason and saw it. So they pulled over and got next to the dolphin and cut this net off of him and reunited it with his mother. And then they sent the drone back up to get a nice picture of it. And it's swimming away with its mom. If you really need a cute video, you should look that one up.
That.
Yeah, and that's in Australia as well. And next, well, I was going to say next week, but tomorrow we're going to talk about this. If you are at a concert and it's terrible, do you still clap at the end? Do you think?
No.
Okay, I'm impressed by that. Because I think most people just go, mm-hmm. Do you clap at it? Well, there is a study out about it. Well, maybe I'll do it now. They found almost always people will do it because it's polite. 60% of Americans will clap no matter what. 31% said, no, you got to earn the applause. So you could just sit there at the end of a show, Joe, not applaud. You'd be like, yeah, okay.
Well, if it was an awful show, Sue, I'd be long gone. I'm not going to sit in traffic to watch crap.
Oh, that's actually a good point.
Maybe the difference is between applause and a standing ovation.
Really?
Maybe you just
so you
quietly
would go,
applaud at your seat if you didn't like it.
Huh,
if
I don't
you really
know.
Liked it, you'd stand up.
By the way, Joe, we know that Brad Young hands out, when people are acting up in the movie theater or talking during a show, he will hand them a card that says, please stop talking.
I don't even think the word please is on it.
Oh, you're right. It's just stop talking. Yeah. It's one of the best
I love it.
Things that I've ever heard. And he gave me one. I've yet to use it. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. This blew me away. Martin Luther King Jr. and Anne Frank were born in the same year, right? 1929. Betty White was born 7 years before them.
Wow.
Whoa. And that's it for Sue's News and today's random fact.
Thank you, Sue. When we come back, we'll be talking with Colin Wright. He has a piece in the Wall Street Journal that we're going to talk about. After this on 97.1 FM Talk. Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon. Hope everyone's having a great Tuesday. We are joined this segment by Colin Wright. Now, he's an evolutionary biologist and Manhattan Institute fellow. He has a piece in the Wall Street Journal called Cornell University Discriminated Against Me, and he is here to talk about that. Colin, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's a pleasure being here. Thanks for having me.
So, Colin, you wrote about Cornell University discriminating against you. So let's start at the beginning. You applied at Cornell?
So I applied to a position in Cornell in late 2019 in their neurobiology program. The program that, well, the job that I mentioned in the Wall Street Journal article was a job I would have applied to but could not because they specifically hid the job search so that they could only hire what they explicitly called a diversity hire.
So now you knew that going in, that they were looking for a DEI hire.
That this only became revealed in the last month or so when a whistleblower sent in documents basically uncovering that there was this coordinated effort to have a race-based hiring scheme at Cornell in 2020.
So when you were going through the process, what was communicated to you? What in 2019 did Cornell say to you?
So when I applied to their other position that wasn't, you know, hidden, it's the reason I was able to apply, you know, it was standard. I had, like, to fill out, like, a diversity, equity, and inclusion statement when I applied, but I just got a standard rejection letter when I applied there. You know, position has been filled. Thanks for applying. If you'd like to apply in the future, you know, we'd love to have your application. But I didn't get any response for, you know, the job, the other job, because it's something I couldn't apply to at all because it was specifically hidden from me.
And now you say a whistleblower came out with this information. So, Colin, what are your steps now in relation to Cornell?
Yeah, so since this whole illegal hiring scheme came out, I was contacted by the America First Policy Institute. They're a team of lawyers that helps represent people for violations of their civil rights. And they said, asked me if I wanted to be their plaintiff. I was the plaintiff they're looking for and sue Cornell. So the first step we did was file, it's called an EEOC complaint. It's the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission. They're going to do a quick investigation and give us, hopefully it's called a right to sue. And then, you know, we present this information to Cornell and we see what their response is, whether they're going to try to settle or whether they're going to try to take this to court and defend their illegal hiring scheme.
Now, Colin, you mentioned this in the piece, and we should let our listeners know, you're not playing a political game here, because you say in the second paragraph of the opinion piece that you yourself are a liberal.
Exactly. I came from being on the left voter. I voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. It was my dissatisfaction with the way that the left was dealing with particularly issues around DEI and, you know, sort of this anti-racist racism that I've come to view it, that has really made me reject at least that sort of woke progressive aspect of the left. But I still harbor plenty of liberal views. I just really hope that they'll back off these racist policies that really seem to be mainstreamed across much of the left right now.
See, so as you said, there's still a lot on the left that you agree with, but this you've been affected by. I mean, do you think it's stuff like this that's hurting the liberal side, hurting the Democrat Party in polls?
Absolutely. I think it's a massive thing. I mean, we have the one party that's claiming to be the party that's against racism and especially systemic racism, but they're the ones that are actually implementing systemically racist policies, which is what DEI is across the board. It's, you know, if you're favoring one race or one group of diverse candidates, given that there's only a limited number of jobs out there, you're necessarily discriminating against people who are, quote, non-diverse on the basis of race. So it's preposterous, and people can really see the absurdity of what's going on over there.
I would also say it's racist in itself to think that the government needs to tell people who to hire, and not thinking that people can get it based on their education and their qualifications.
Yeah, I mean, my view is that it should just be a merit-based hiring scheme. Anytime you use some sort of immutable characteristic, whether it's sex or whether it's someone's race, something other than merit, especially in a job at a prestigious Ivy League university where we're trying to get the top of the top intellects in the country. I just think that this is something we should go away from. And of course, it's also a violation of individual civil rights.
So, Colin, you didn't get this this job at Cornell. So did you end up landing a college job? What are you up to these days?
So I ended up leaving academia later in 2020 because I knew that these types of hiring schemes were likely quite rampant just in my conversations with other colleagues who had participated on certain hiring committees, and the fact that DEI statements were basically just ubiquitous in all of academia. So I ended up leaving. I started sort of a career in journalism and public understanding of science, and now I work at the Manhattan Institute as a fellow there, really pushing back a lot of the sex and gender pseudoscience that's out there, but I still comment diversity, equity, and inclusion stuff that I think is really making it so the left is basically something I'm unable to go back to for a while. They need to really reflect on this and move away from these racist policies.
So to that point of going back, you know, if things continue to shift the other way, depending on the outcome of this, I mean, is academia something that you would entertain in the future?
Absolutely. Yeah. I live in Nashville. There's Vanderbilt University's close by. I know that they've recently had like a free speech wing that they've opened up and hired a bunch of scholars. So, yeah, I mean, for me, the future is open. I'd be willing, if, you know, these universities are distancing themselves from all the DEI stuff, I would for sure think about reapplying to universities again as either, you know, teaching position or even a research position, given that I now publish a lot on the sort of the biology of sex now. So absolutely, that's still something I'm considering.
Well, Colin, we'll keep our eyes on this. And, you know, as you said, you know, you view it from how this affected you, but you still hold a lot of liberal beliefs. I feel like this this common sense against DEI, you know, I do on one of my other shows, I do Common Ground with Democrats. It's every Wednesday. We talk to Democrats and try to find common ground. I feel like this is something that 80% of the nation could find common ground on.
Oh, I think so. I think, you know, and to get people to raise awareness and just sort of getting shaken out of their complacency about DEI, if you just reverse the races in my situation, if you say, well, Cornell had this hiring scheme where they specifically only reached out to white male candidates and they specifically tried to keep things confidential and disqualified, you know, qualified black or other candidates. I mean, this would be like a national scandal. It'd be something taught in textbooks. Nobody on any side of the aisle would have any problem seeing the moral disaster that this is. Yet somehow one half of the political aisle seems to just think, you know, me even bringing this up is evidence that I am a white supremacist or something. It's absurd. So it's about couching. It's about framing. But I think most people, you know, if we get them one-on-one, we'll be able to see how truly immoral this type of thing is.
His name is Colin Wright. Go to Wall Street Journal, read his piece, Cornell University Discriminated Against Me. It's a great read. And Colin, really appreciate the conversation today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
That is, again, Colin Wright. He is an evolutionary biologist, and as he said, currently at the Manhattan Institute, but not against going back into academia. I got to tell you, you know, I do have a story at Cornell University. I went there to go see a family member play baseball and sat in an ice storm. They have a beautiful sports complex. I do have to give Cornell that. But my memories of Cornell are going to be sitting there in an ice storm and watching my, it's like my second removed cousin get a hit when you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. Somehow he saw the pitch and hit it out into the outfield. That's my Cornell moment. When we come back, we're gonna dip back into some of the fighting words from the liberal governors around the United States. And Sue brought up Dave Portnoy and pizza reviews, and I have a pizza question that someone brought to me. So all that and much, much more here on 97.1 FM Talk. Hey, it's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. Great to be with you on this Tuesday. We have been talking about just a plethora of things going on in the political world and beyond. But, you know, I want to there's two things I want to bring up, and I'm guessing now is the best time to do it. So in the last, during Sue's news, Sue brought up Dave Portnoy and his pizza reviews. And I have gone to the place he's ranked highest here in Buffalo. And let me tell you, it's on the list of my top three.
Hey, what is it? Because I was just in Buffalo.
Oh, and you didn't say hi?
Well, because Fred hadn't given me your number yet. I just got it yesterday.
I understand. I would say it's a tie. I think Lenovo is, yeah. Now, I should also say I worked at Lenovo for 14 years through high school and college.
You've worked everywhere.
So,
yes.
So, Lenovo Pizzeria, where I started working there my sophomore year of high school, or Picasso's. I would say those are the two best if you want Buffalo style.
What's We're Buffalo talking, style?
So, it's not Detroit crust, but it's not New York thin crust. It is right in the middle of Detroit and New York.
Okay.
And I would say that those are the two best. Lenovo also has a really good New York slice, but Lenovo and Picasso's would be my my tied for first. I could not pick one over the other.
Okay. Just curious. All right.
Now, I heard this, and I'm not going to say who, but a friend of mine who works here at the station said that the worst place for pizza is St. Louis. And
yeah.
I love you guys, and I would never, I said I can't agree with that. I'd have to taste the pizza. But what is the status of St. Louis pizza?
Well, it's because of Emo's. And what we do is we have a thin crust, And it is not a super thin. It is not cut. Well, it's cut in squares. It's the square beyond compare. And the argument is whether or not Provel cheese goes on there. So we are all used to it, and I love it. Give me an Emo's any daggone day. But there are those who come from out of town who can't stand it, but there are also those who come from out of town who worship it. So it, you're either in one camp or the other.
You don't have a lot of people that just say it's decent. I'm one of those people. I'm just like, it's fine. It's not the best thing in the world, but it's not. It's still pizza. There's some people that Provel cheese touches their tongue, and they're like, this is disgusting. It tastes like plastic. It's gross. It does have a weird, it definitely tastes different. It has, I think, a little bit of a different aftertaste. But there's not a lot of people that say it's just kind of in the middle. Usually people either hate it or they really like it.
I would agree with that assessment.
So is there a traditional pizza place, like a place that serves New York-ish style or Detroit-style pizza in St. Louis?
Racanelli's. And we've got some Detroit-style pizzas. There's one in South County, not too far from my new house. I'll take you there, Ethan.
Okay.
But yeah, so we do have some Detroit. Definitely Racanelli's is going to be the closest you're going to get to a New York-style. So yeah, we have others.
Okay. All right. I got to get, I keep telling my wife, we got to take a trip. Like I have the bucket list items, right? I want to go to Montana and I want to go to the pyramid in Memphis, but I got to get to St. Louis.
In Memphis. Oh, that's hilarious. Okay.
I watched a video of one of these social media influencers who spent a night at the hotel at the Bass Pro Pyramid in Memphis. And now it's like, I have to do that. This is a must.
Okay.
We put this on the Joe Beamer list.
I like Montana.
Montana's
amazing.
And
the Memphis Pyramid. One of these things is not like the other.
Well, those are, I go to Vegas enough. I go to Florida enough. I'm in Canada way too often. These are two things within the range. That's not ridiculous. We could last minute plan trips to these places that are on my list. I've always wanted, Montana looks beautiful. Like I definitely want to go there.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
But before any of that, like I told my wife, the next trip we plan, we've got to incorporate St. Louis. I mean, I've been doing fill-ins for over 2 years. I've got to go see the city of St. Louis.
It would help, yes. And, yeah. Yes. Maybe to step foot into the city, yes.
So that's on the list. I'd like to incorporate it around, a fill-in so I could come and be in the studio with you guys.
But yeah, that'd be fun.
That's the list. And then, of course, I got to get a list of what the food is when I'm in St. Louis. And
Got you covered for that.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm happy for that. And then I got to say this. Trump just gave a press conference on the Olympics in 28. Now, I went to the Olympics in 96 in Atlanta after the bomb. We were on our way down. We drove down to Atlanta 2 days after when they reopened the park was the day that we started going to the competition. And I got to say, I'm psyched for the Olympics to be in the States.
Yeah.
It's going to be L.A. in 28. It's going to be in Utah in 32. I think I might actually go in 32. I love the Olympics.
Love it.
I feel like some places feel like, or some people feel like it's lost its luster. I love it. I love, rooting on the American flag for every event. And I can't wait to show the States off.
Yeah, same. I love it. Love it. I prefer summer. But I can handle winter.
Yeah, I mean, I love summer with the tennis.
Right.
But I love winter for now that the NHL players are back in the hockey. I'm looking forward to the Winter Olympics as well. And by the way, we're hosting the World Cup next year as well.
That's right.
So that, definitely excited for that.
That one might end up being a little bit of a disaster. I'm a little bit worried about
how that
might go. Yes.
Oh.
What do you think will happen?
Well, if the Copa America that happened a couple of years ago is any sort of tease as to what it was, security was terrible. They're saying at least infrastructures in certain areas of the country is just not ready for the amount of people that are going to be here, specifically in the Midwest. They're saying that it's going to be in Kansas City, right? One of the sites. They're saying that the amount of hotel backup that will be here in St. Louis as a result of it is going to be out of the wazoo.
Seriously?
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
So
wow, that's a well. How far is it to Kansas City? Three and a half, four hours.
And they're saying it's gonna book everything here. So
wow,
it'll be interesting to see if that if it affects other areas of the country like that.
Imagine. Okay, but all right, 3.5 hours away, you're gonna stay. Okay.
I know.
Ethan's saying it's going to be the Bristol MLB game all over again.
Yeah, essentially.
We'll be back after this.